Let's get ready to rumble.
Yes, we're back. It's episode 82, can you believe it, lads, of the Hibs Ramble. I'm joined this week by Craig. How are we, my friend?
Good, mate, you?
I'm not too bad, mate, not too bad. Thanks for asking. And we're also joined by Sean this evening. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. Glad to be back.
Yeah, well, it's me too, actually, because I missed last week.
You did.
Or one of the pods last week, anyway, the post Derby one, which is a shame because I had quite a lot of things to say, but I feel like yourself and Mark covered it really well, Craig, so it was a good episode. I enjoyed listening to it, but it would have been a little bit better if me and Sean were on, I think. What do you think, Sean?
Debatable.
Boys done well. One of the two episodes that I was on was a good listen, so whether that was the one you were on or not, is I'll let you come to that conclusion.
Well, I think we know that the level of analysis, the level of professionalism, and the overall level is, you know, severely dropped when it is me that's on the call. So, that being said, we'll jump straight into it. Before we talk about Saturday's game, though, long bangers down the slope and ourselves have teamed up together in an initiative, fucking hell, can I speak? that we've called a ticket drive. We're looking for donations to help disadvantaged families and families that can't afford usually to go to the football to get tickets between now and the end of the season. So. We've got a little bit about that on our social media, so if you want to know a little bit more and how to donate and where to donate, I'll put the GoFundMe link in the YouTube description and in the Spotify and Apple descriptions. So if you want to jump in and have a little check out of that, it would be really, really appreciated if you could donate anything, big or small, that could help these people get along and watch the club that they love. And of course, it'd be good if we could get as many results as possible like we did on Saturday, Craig. 2-0 against Ross County. Business as usual, you think?
I thought the first half was a tough watch. There wasn't really much happening in the first half. But then, in fairness, I don't think Ross County actually offered anything themselves to make it make it a sort of a decent game. I do just think we are probably at the tail end of a tough week with the same starting 11. I think was at the same starting 11 for the third week. You could tell a few of the boys were just leggy. Scrap that, I'm not saying the boys, that's horrible. Like you could see maybe Marcondes, Malida, them in the first half especially were miles off it. But at the same time, I didn't feel like we were ever in any, under any pressure of that for Ross County. So the second half was a lot better. I think we'll obviously talk about the second half more, but I know it was good to get one of those out the road that's a points over performance, and sort of makes a small dent in that gap that we're trying to close towards St Mirren and Kilmarnock above us.
100%. And Sean, that game at the weekend probably could have been seen as a little bit of a banana skin, you know, given Ross County have recently, you know, changed their manager. They've picked up a couple of points here and there that they've maybe not been expected to pick up. Clearly, they're fighting for their lives down at the bottom end of the table, and they would have relished coming to Easter Road, I think, maybe even just a few weeks ago. But the last few weeks have made it a little bit tougher to come and play us at Easter Road. But, you know, it's definitely one that, you know, in weeks gone by, we could have slipped up on.
Yeah. I think the last time I was on, I touched on saying that I fully expect us to get 3 points when the game did arise, and thankfully we did. I fully expect us to do it in the next game against them and the Livy one as well. So, like Craig mentioned already, it was more, result over performance, and it's only natural when you come off the back of such a big game, albeit we didn't get the result that we wanted and felt like we should have got a better result than we did. But yeah, most importantly, we've got the points on the board, and considering the way that other teams performed at the weekend, we kind of needed to get the 3 points.
Yeah, 100%, and a clean sheet as well. You know, that's nothing to be scoffed at. I know it's only Ross County, and you know you could fit the population of Dingwall inside Easter Road, but you know it's a clean sheet is a clean sheet. Doesn't matter if it's against Celtic or Rangers, Ross County or Elgin. You know, you don't concede a goal, and I think that's definitely something that we've not been doing nearly enough this season. But I do think that, you know, over the last few games, I thought on Wednesday we defended really well, and I thought against Dundee also we defended really well. We didn't have to do an awful lot of defending, Craig, on Saturday, but what we did have to do, we did comfortably. I felt Rocky had a really, really strong performance at the back, but there's another player that I want to mention, and he has come into a lot of stick this season, but David Marshall, I think, has been absolutely brilliant over the last couple of months.
Yeah, I think Marshall had one save to make that was pretty decent. I can't remember if it was first half or second half.
He had one in the first half and then one in
The one in the first half was almost at him, but he got a strong enough, I think he maybe fisted it away. But he fit, it was right away. It's not as if he'd done it into danger. And I think he had one maybe low down to his right. I think we've commented on it since the changing goalkeeping coach. Marshall's been a lot better. He's still a bit, for me, too slow at times with the goal kicks, but we've touched on that. We don't need to go over that again. Rocky, though, has been superb for me. He's, when you look at players who probably split the Hib support in terms of those who rate and those who don't, Rocky is probably one of the most polarising. In that I've even seen folks say, oh, he played well against Hearts, but he's still got a mistake in him. Excuse me. But he's, for me, he's been, you know, we've conceded, two goals in three games, one from a penalty. The other one was from a speculative hit from the edge of the box. He's been...
neither of them had anything to do with it.
Exactly. And he's been, I think, obviously been able to, I know he never played for Congo, but I think they got to, what was it, the semi-finals or something. That would have been a massive thing for him to be a part of, giving him a lot of confidence. And I think you can see that even in the way that he's playing. He seems to have cut out this arsing about a lot with the ball. He's very much a case of just getting the ball and moving it on. Or even he's using it when he's driving into space. But for me, his defensive capabilities at present have been outstanding. And I think it's now, you know, I know we brought in Triantis on loan and we've still got Paul Hanlon there and we've got obviously Will Fish. But for me, it's a case of if all four are fit, it wouldn't be who plays alongside Fish. It would be at the moment who plays alongside Rocky, just because of how much
9%
came back.
You know, I think that it's backed up by the stats as well. Ryan shared in the chat earlier on Saturday, Sean, most completed passes of any player with 63. You know, you can say a lot about the way that we play, and it's slow and laboured a lot of the time at the back, but it shows that he's not giving the ball away needlessly at the back and in the middle of the park. He was the most accurate passer to play over 45 minutes, and that was an 89% pass success rate. And he won the most duels in the match, which was 12 out of 15 as well. So, you know, he has been a divisive figure since he signed, but he's definitely come back from AFCON with a point to prove, mate.
Yeah, he's got these lively performances in him. But unfortunately, sometimes there's a lapse in concentration or a wee mistake in him as well. And I think, whether you want to class it as a mistake or misjudging the ball when he let Shankland in the previous derby, not the one just there, there's maybe a wee bit of a game smartness either from him or from Monty in regards to the subs that we made. You know, for example, in the derby, we try and it's coming at the middle of the park. So I think, giving Rocky the right level of support at the right times throughout a match, depending on the opponent, is key. Yeah. And then we can maybe lean on what he can do well more than maybe asking him to do what he does well, but then maybe expect him to do things that is maybe not so well in, and maybe he needs a little bit more support in. So if we can change up the personnel around him or the shape around him, which we shouldn't have to, but listen, there's a reason why he's at Hibs and he's not, you know, at another club, so to speak, higher up. So, yeah, he's got these strong level of performances in him, and I think a lot of it is confidence-based as well. as well as maybe an understanding of who's around him and what the players can maybe expect from him as well. Maybe players on the pitch asking him to maybe not do things that he's great at, and maybe we should be concentrating on his positive traits more than anything else. He's definitely a player that's easy to coach, and that's been apparent throughout his whole Hibs career.
Well, you're talking about confidence there, Sean. I felt that at the start of last season, he was probably playing, apart from the last couple of weeks, playing his best football in a Hibs shirt. I thought he was excellent at the start of last season, after the whole signed him by mistake debacle. I felt like then again he had a point to prove, and he proved it, and then he kind of sort of fell away a little bit towards the end of the season, and then at the start of this season he was getting a little bit of stick again. He's clearly come back stronger, so definitely a confidence player. But just moving on to the rest of the first half before we go into second half, there wasn't an awful lot that happened. First half, Marcondes, I felt, didn't have the greatest of games first half.
That's a sitter, by the way. His chance in the first half is an absolute sitter.
Yeah, it's really bad. Really, really bad. That goalie had an absolute Reggie blinker, didn't he? But Marcondes, he really should be putting that away. But like you say, Craig, it's maybe just a little bit of fatigue. Played 3 weeks on the bounce, three games on the bounce.
He's not played a lot of football as well.
Exactly. He hasn't played a lot of football for Bournemouth and so on for at the start of this season anyway. And I think he's had problems with injury recently as well, has he not, before he joined Hibs?
Yeah, so I think it was some sort of cruciate.
Sometimes when you bring in players,
Bournemouth squad, maybe at the start of the window, he was definitely in a couple of match day squads. I don't know if he got on in the Premier League or the FA Cup or that when they played.
It's one of them. You've got a player of that quality.
Yeah.
You don't, and we've only got him for 6 months. You don't really want him wallowing on the bench for longer than he has to. But obviously, we've got to kind of keep his well being and his fitness in mind. And
we've got bigger fish to fry than Ross County at home, especially when it was comfortable. You know what I mean? It was very comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. Just touching on the intensity, it was disappointing first half for me. I was sitting next to my dad and he was going, "Oh, well, how can we play this well and be that urgent at Tynecastle on Wednesday, and then we come here and it's flat and rigid, and there's no fluidity, there's no sort of momentum or anything. It's so difficult to go from the bee's nest, so to speak, of Tynecastle away under the lights, 100 miles an hour, to home against Ross County, who are struggling, who are going to stick 10 men behind the ball. Sean, I don't know about you, but I expected it to be like that.
I wasn't surprised at all in the slightest by the lack of not performance, but more the intensity more than anything else. I think performance and intensity can kind of go hand in hand as well. So we've said it loads of times in the lead up to big games and the games that follow thereafter, there is always a drop off in performance and intensity from the vast majority of the team. Very rarely do boys in our team need to give us a certain level of performance for a certain period of time as well. So I wasn't surprised to see it. I agree with what you said, Craig, regarding the Marcondes chance as well, whether fatigues came into that or level of performance as well, I'm unsure. But for me, the whole match kind of lacked a level of intensity. Yeah. And listen, it won't surprise me in the slightest that come the weekend, the intensity is back there. We're going to have just over a week rest period, which I think a lot of the players will need. You've got Mizian, you've got Emiliano, Mariah Welsh, all players that in a short period of time since coming in, we're asking them to do a lot. And listen, they're professional footballers, but touching on the whole Rocky thing about the fact that there's a reason why he's at Hibs, there's a reason why these kind of players are now at Hibs, either on loan or, in Mariah Welsh's case, permanent. Yeah. So a lot of these players, I said it at the end of the January window, once we get them up to speed, I think we'll be firing. They're slowly getting up to speed, and week on week, we're getting better and better. So it comes as no surprise, and I'm glad that we're kind of out of that, what would be deemed as a tough week with the results that we got, as well as the performance, if you mix the two together. Yeah. It's just now a case of, now that we've got this starting 11, getting a good run of games together, give them a rest this week, not in regards to a rest in regards to the starting 11. I mean, throughout the week, give them time to rest and recover and then get them ready to go again, because after the weekend, we've got, again, another cup final, which feels like we're saying that about every game at the moment.
I think, I don't know if we used that beside me at this game, but it reminded me very much of when we played Killy last season at home. I think Hoppy scored.
2-0 game. 2-0
game. I think you might have been up beside me for that game, Sean. I'm not 100% sure, but that was like, that felt like a training game. And that's what it felt like on Saturday. Yeah. Like, I do agree with you as well. It's so hard to replicate that. Like, with the atmosphere at Tyne Park.
You can't.
You're away from home against your rivals. The atmosphere is fucking buzzing. You've got four stands that are just raring to go. And then you come to a game like Saturday where it's the wee pocket and the far end of the East Stand. And it just, you know it yourself as a fan. You're looking at a Wednesday night and you're seeing fucking Wednesday night away to Tynecastle, fucking yes, you've got the march before it, you're finishing work a couple hours earlier, you're going out for a few pints, you're getting joining the march and all of that that comes with it. Then it's like, oh, Ross County at home, oh. Like, it's only natural that the players would maybe get that sense of feeling as well. Like, they think they're going to turn up and be like, these boys are just going to sit with 11 men behind the ball and try and break. And that's exactly what they've done. There was a period where that Jordan White could have been one-on-one with either Rocky or Obita, and he just stopped and turned and fed it back to, like, the right wing-back. Like, he's just completely...
They were chronic. Yeah. They were absolutely
one of the worst
chronic
sides I've ever seen in person. They were fucking shite.
Yeah. Really, really, really poor. And, you know, I watched Sports Scene, Sean. Was it last week they played Livingston and it was 2-2 and they looked really dynamic. And albeit they were up against Livingston, who, again, are struggling, but, you know, they looked like a half-decent side. And I was thinking, oh, Christ, we're in for a game here, because, you know, they've obviously got that new manager bounce with Don Kiwi taking over from Derek Adams, which I am absolutely gutted about, because his post-matches were sensational.
Could you have imagined a bottom six relegation battle between Derek Adams and Neil Warnock? That would have been absolutely sensational television.
Yeah, that would have been something straight out of a movie, man. Yeah. Seriously. But I thought that they would have came and at least given it a little bit of a go, considering you've seen other sides have given it a go at Easter Road this season, but it just wasn't to be. But at half-time, Sean, were you thinking this has got a 0-0 written all over it? Because, yeah, they weren't doing anything. But even when we had the ball in forward areas, it didn't really look like we were doing an awful lot either.
No, I expected us to get the result. The longer the game went on, it wasn't a case of how I would probably normally feel and, oh, they're going to nick one and we're not going to be able to get back into it. Like, I just didn't see Ross County threatening us in any way. And no matter the players that either we had on the pitch at the time or the players that we could have potentially brought on, I felt like we had enough attack and threat on the pitch at the time and on the bench to come on and threaten and win us the game. My only real concern was when Ellie Yuan was on the pitch, what kind of Ellie Yuan were we going to potentially get? But I guess that's the concern that I have with him week in, week out at the moment. But no, I didn't have any concerns. For me, I knew that we were going to get a goal, and it was just a case of once we got one, could we maybe make it two and see it out, or was it going to be, you know, squeaky bum time at the end? And thankfully, we got the goal, and we got the 3 points.
Yeah, exactly. Just one of those chipping away performances. Craig, at halftime, Nathan Mariah Welsh came off and Dylan Levitt went on. At the time, I thought that is a bizarre substitution, because I thought that even though he'd misplaced a couple of passes, Mariah Welsh was probably one of the better players on the park in the first half. You know, with Emiliano not firing on all cylinders, I felt like, you know, Mizian and Boyle and Venti were kind of detached a little bit from the rest of the team. So I thought bringing Levitt on at half time was a little bit of an odd one, but as soon as the second half started, it looked like he was the catalyst of getting things forward and making things happen. And not long after that, we got the first goal.
Yeah, I think we've been crying out for a performance like that from Levitt. I would actually disagree with you as well. I thought Mariah Welsh was absolutely terrible first half.
Did you? Yeah, I thought he covered
a lot of ground.
Maybe clouded in the middle, because I feel like we've missed someone who does that bogey work in the middle of the park, and you know, maybe because he's played so well up to that point, and I'm thinking, well, like, he does an awful lot. He did give the ball away an awful lot. Yeah.
His recovery and winning the ball back at times was really good, but then he was misplacing simple 5-10 yard passes. Again, he's one that's probably not played a lot. I know he was obviously went off at Tynecastle because he'd run his race. He was a bit, I think he maybe was holding his calf or something. So again, he's probably another one that's probably a little bit fatigued. You know, you need to remember as well, physically and mentally, these boys will be tired with the intensity going from a game like Wednesday to a game like Saturday. So it's one of those ones for Mariah Welsh that you can just tuck on, you know, you can just open the drawer and put in as one to forget. Because it's the first time he's played like that since he's joined. I thought Levitt was superb when he came on. He really showed a desire that we've not seen from him for a while to get his foot on the ball and get things going. I know again he's pulled off. He's tried a couple of passes that didn't necessarily come off, but he's
one of them that's got that. He's got in his locker probably, though. He's not just doing it aimlessly.
He's probably the only player in the team that we've got closest to what you'd term as a Scott Allen type, who try these sort of risky passes. 9 times out of 10, 9 times they'll fail, and the one time it'll come off. And obviously he was key in both goals. You know, his work on the right hand side to release Venti. Obviously you need to say we're a bit fortuitous about how the goal actually comes about with the keeper spilling it, but Levitt done really well to release Venti down the right hand side, and then obviously he's played. I think he maybe played a 1-2 with Ellie. And it was very much a case of the space just opened up in front of him for his goal. But again, he still had to finish it really well.
Yeah, of course. Just talking about the goal shot, it was... we said earlier on that goalie had an absolute Reggie blinker. I'm not being funny. I'm not in the business of going in on players, but Jesus Christ, that goalie could not catch a cold.
I know. And... there's a reason he's at Ross County, I guess. that's probably the best way to put it. As I said earlier on, we needed to get the goal. I did feel it was only a matter of time with the attacking threat that we had on the pitch at that point. He started his Hibs career very, very well. You've got to be in that position to finish it in the first place, and thankfully he was, and that's another goal for him. Is that 3 or 4 goals now and one assist since he joined.
Yeah, I think it's 5 goals and assists since he joined, I think, the Hibs Twitter put out. So.
And there's obviously a real reason that Monty's trying to keep him on the pitch for as long as possible at every game as well. So unlike Mariah Welsh or Emiliano, where you're taking them off when the game's gone or the game's won, or if we're maybe needing to change it up, he's the one constant that is there week in, week out as well. So it just goes to show how much quality he's shown the manager as well.
He's a real threat, and
he's only 2 behind Boyle in contributions in 15 less games. He scored.
Who's our top scorer?
He's scored the same amount of goals as Boyle has in 15 less.
Who's our top scorer this season, though?
I'm sure it's Ellie Young.
It must be Ellie, I'd imagine. I'm
sure it is.
Aye, Ellie Young.
Ellie's got 13 goals and assists.
In the league, Ellie's got 4. Our top,
and he's our top league goal scorer.
Ellie's got 4, Venti's got 4, Doidge on 3, Josh Campbell on 3, Boyle, Malida, Lafondre on 3, Levitt, Marcondes, J.R. Newell, Lewis Miller on 2, Will Fish on 1. So there's where our...
So Ewan is our top scorer with 4?
Yeah, goals and assists. He's on...
And two of them came in one fucking game. Two of them came in 90 seconds.
He's on 8 in total. 4 goals, 4 assists in the league.
Jesus, it's pretty drab, isn't it? When you look at it like that. But I mean, with the results that, I mean, I thought Saturday was an absolutely mental day of football. You know, we're kind of drifting away from the game, but I just want to talk about the other results that happened in the division on Saturday. I mean, I was walking out thinking, oh well, it's all right, you know, were still a point behind Dundee, because at that point Dundee were still leading against Kilmarnock. Aberdeen were still 1-0 up against the against fucking St Mirren. And then I got halfway down towards the car and my phone's going, and it's my dad, and he's like, have you seen the scores? I went, no. I check it. St Mirren had scored 2 in 90 seconds and fucking Dundee letting an equaliser against Kilmarnock. So
that video of him losing his shit is absolutely fucking
tremendous. Funny. It is really, really funny. But Sean, it's one of them, eh? Like, seeing years gone by, I've always felt like if other teams do us a favour, we never, ever capitalise on it. So it's good that we did our job before the other teams ended up doing us a favour.
Yeah, I know. And we touched on it the other week when I convinced you that we were going to finish in the top six. Like, obviously, I actually expected Aberdeen to pick up some points, but their demise is absolutely tremendous, and I'm here for it. But I said it a couple of episodes ago. I don't know if you can still hear me anyway, Liam.
I can hear you.
I said it a couple of weeks ago that I think, like, if we just win the games that we've got in years gone by, we have not won against the teams that we were expected to win against. And then we raise our game in the bigger games. And obviously, we still need to be doing that. We still need to be producing results in big games. I'm not saying that, but traditionally, if you beat the teams that are expected to be below you, you'll find yourself in a strong position come the end of the season. So, and like I said, in years gone by, we've either not done that, or when we have, other teams haven't done us a favour. And with the results that went at the weekend and the teams that are around us, the games that they've got upcoming, I still fully expect us to get in the top six as well.
And surely both old firm teams dropping points at the weekend, we're maybe in the mix for the title, Craig?
I think we're just a tad away from it now, in all honesty. If we'd have got the one against Hearts on Wednesday, I would have fancied us to make a late run for it, but I think that's going to leave us just out of contention. But my updated hot take from the episode that me and Sean done, when I said that I didn't think Montgomery would last the season, is that we'll now finish in the top four.
I think that there is a massive, massive chance. You know, we've got a game in hand over St Mirren and Kilmarnock.
Yeah, and that St Mirren and Aberdeen game didn't do us a favour whatsoever. As funny as it is to see Aberdeen in the state that they're in, Dave Cormack.
You would have wanted that to be a draw, really, because you didn't want Aberdeen to win, but you didn't want...
Dave Cormack almost in fucking tears on national radio again would have been sensational, but... it's not helped us out at all. The Dundee, Kilmarnock.
No, I still think that St Mirren and Kilmarnock, I mean, with all due respect to them, and I've really got nothing to base this off, because they've been brilliant all season and very, very consistent. I think that they'll fall off a cliff come, you know, the tail end of the game.
We need to be looking at the five games we've got before the split. We need to be looking at 12 points out of the 15 available.
I think, exactly. Sean, I think we can probably afford losing to Rangers away, but the rest of them, we've got to win. We really have to win, because Kilmarnock aren't going to win all those games. St Mirren aren't going to win all those games. I can't remember if we've got anyone. We've not got St Mirren or Kilmarnock.
No, we've got Ross County, Livingston, St Johnston and Motherwell.
And Motherwell, yeah. And Rangers.
My concern with it at the moment, and I don't know if my maths could be way off here, there's what? We've got 10 games left. So you've obviously got 30 points if we make it into the top six. 30 points to play regardless. But if we make it into the top six, 30 points. If we then don't get anything in either of the Rangers games, so playing them before the split and after the split, and we don't get anything against Celtic, and we assume that we don't get a result against Hearts, if we win all the rest of the games, that only takes us to 52 points, which is only 10 ahead of St Mirren. And St Mirren could potentially make up those points before we even get to the split. So I'm not saying that we couldn't not reach fourth. I would absolutely love it if we do. But for us to be able to do that, we're going to have to not only get something against Rangers, either home or away, or both, we're then going to have to get points against Hearts at home, which again, in previous seasons gone by, we've been able to do, but then Celtic as well. So it is a huge ask. And like I just already mentioned, in years gone by, we've not traditionally beat the teams that we're expected to beat. So I think, considering the level of quality player that we have and the fact that a lot of them are now coming up to speed, you know, caveated with the fact that we've got some strong players coming back and filling our benches as well, and our bench is looking a lot stronger, I think we could go on a little run. And I do agree that we need to be getting almost maximum points between now and the split. And then it's just a case of the split will take care of itself, like it does every season.
Yeah, I mean, genuinely, I think we've got every chance. What are we, if we win our game in hand, we're what, is it 5 points behind fourth if we win our game in hand? So it's definitely not out with the realms of possibility, considering that we'll have St Mirren to play and we could then shorten that gap to two.
We're running out of time. Like,
we are running out of time, but then if St Mirren and Kilmarnock, if they got the minerals really to go and finish in those fourth and fifth places, we obviously we don't want to be come the end of the season. I mean, I'll take fourth or fifth by hook or by crook, don't get me wrong, but we want to be convincingly in those positions. And the only way we're going to do that is by winning games of football.
Out with the Rangers game, we could not have
asked. We do our job.
Out with the Rangers game, we could not have asked for a better set of fixtures before the split. Like, we genuinely...
Yeah. We're just then relying on those that are going to be in the top six with us, or i.e.
losing games before
and come on up losing games before them.
You need to factor in, you'd probably expect Rangers and Celtic, they're playing each other, so cancel that game out. You're looking at them winning at least three games each. Here or there,
yeah,
because you can what happens after split. Hearts traditionally in the top six are fucking gammon, like they're absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't matter though.
I'm meaning for what it means, like Sean says, if we do get the top six and we do want to catch St Mirren, so Hearts traditionally are shite in the top six, they've got third sewn up, like they'll not have anything to play for whatsoever.
They could put the bairns out from...
So you've got that. You've then got the fact that we'll all need to play the Old Firm ourselves. And I don't know how the fixture permutations would work in terms of, because obviously one of Rangers or Celtic will need to either host a team three times or face a team away three times over the course of the season, the way it works out. So we just need to be taking care of ourselves. And, you know, if we can get in the split, if we can go unbeaten and win at least two of the run that we would have against Kelly Hearts and St Mirren, we'd put ourselves in a great position.
We really would. And the thing is, we're only going to get there by winning games. And if we do our job, but you know other teams aren't doing us favours, or you know St Mirren, Kilmarnock, etc., are all picking up points, then you know come the end of the season, you know we're like, well, we've done our bit. Obviously, the start of the season wasn't great. The middle of the season wasn't great. But if we can have a strong end to the season, then I think it'll give us a half-decent stepping stone into the start of next season. Yeah. I'm actually going to just completely stop talking about the Ross County game now, because we've moved on from that. I want to talk about Rangers on Sunday. It is a... a massive game, of course, quarterfinal of the Scottish Cup. Last few games have given me, certainly, a little bit more confidence going into this game, you know, rightly or wrongly. Rangers, of course, beating against Motherwell at Ibrox on Saturday. They've got Benfica on Thursday, and then play us at Easter Road on a Sunday. I don't know if their game against Benfica is at Ibrox. I think it might be.
I think this.
Does anyone know?
The first leg's away, I think.
Is it? Sean, do you know?
I'll just quickly check if you want to just walk.
Could be talking a
shite. Yeah, so obviously they play Benfica on Thursday, then come Easter Road, so they could be.
They're away. They're away.
So, I mean, they could very possibly be coming Easter Road on the back of two defeats, Sean, which you could spin in a positive light or a negative light, obviously. They've not done an awful lot wrong under Philippe Clement so far this season. But, you know, they didn't pull up trees on Saturday when I watched the highlights against Motherwell. Motherwell seemed to carve them open pretty easily.
The Bears got slayed by the Bear.
Yeah, if they get beat on Thursday, what are you thinking for Sunday?
I think it's a huge ask for us to get past them, if I'm being completely honest. I do think playing them just after a defeat in their perspective in regards to their fixture is the worst time to play them, because, you know, normally you do get a reaction. It's you normally see an upset when it comes out the blue, and you're not expecting it at least, because they're like teams like Celtic and Rangers are on such a good run of games and on good form. It's at that point where you're not expecting them to drop points. But normally when they've just dropped points and just lost, especially in the league, you do normally see a reaction from them when they come up and face another Scottish side, whether it be in the Scottish Cup or League Cup or even in the league. So it'll be a huge ask. The benefit that we have is obviously that it's at home, and the benefit that they will have played on the Thursday. And the third bit to add to that is the fact that it's a 5:30 kickoff as well. So at that point, similar to what you were alluding to earlier on, Craig, about the Hearts game, people will obviously have a few bevies in them by then as well. So it could create a bit more of an atmosphere that the players will want to thrive under.
It's going to be intense. It is going to be intense regardless. So, Sean, what you're trying to tell us is that you hope that they win on Thursday so that they're not giving us a reaction on Sunday?
I hope that they never win a game ever again. However, that's a big ask.
We're not getting drawn into any potential praise of Rangers on this podcast.
Not again.
I don't care how it happens, as long as we get it over the line at the weekend. I don't think it will happen, if I'm being brutally honest. And I think it is a big ask. But listen, it wouldn't be a cup shock purely on the basis of the fact that we're on a good run at the moment and the fact that we're at home.
Yeah.
Listen, stranger things have happened, really.
We're due one against
Craig,
them.
We're
due one against them. Like, we've beaten better Ranger sides in the past with worse Hibs teams than what is currently got at the moment. So it's one of those ones where it's very rare that they lose more than two games on the bounce. So if they did get beat on Thursday, you would expect them to come out firing. And I don't buy into this now. I've seen folk talking, or they'll be shattered after playing chasing shadows for 90 minutes in Portugal. Like, we've seen,
I don't think that game is going to be, I don't think it's going to be as cut and dry as people think. Also, Benfica happens inside, but the pedigree that Rangers have had in Europe for the last few seasons has been really, really good. You know, there's no getting away from it. Of course, they got to the Europa League final a couple of years ago. They embarrassed themselves and the whole country in the Champions League last season. But, you know, when you look at the teams that they've beaten recently in Europe, you wouldn't look at Benfica and think that they wouldn't be, you know, a standout as part of that list. You know, they're definitely, Rangers will certainly think that they're there for the taking, and they're not going to be going over there and having a jolly and resting players with Sunday in mind. They're going to be going over there and giving it 1,010,000%.
I know you've seen in the past as well with him, like, how do I put this without it being fucking clipped? Like, they've shown that when it comes to Europe under Gerrard and then Van Bronckhorst, never really seen it under the Mole. And then Clement, I don't think, has he actually had a, was he in charge maybe when they played Betis or something?
I have no idea.
You've shown that they're able to be, they're almost a completely different side when they play in the Europa League specifically, because obviously they got absolutely bummed in the Champions League last season. But in the Europa League, you know, you go through the teams that they've beaten you that you'd expect to dispatch them. It's like somebody like Dortmund. They put out,
and even like they Leipzig,
Dortmund I'm sure, did they not beat Dortmund like 4-1 over in Dortmund?
It was something like that.
They put out them. They put out. I couldn't even tell you their runs, but they've beaten some credible European opposition over the past couple of years. And you've seen it as well when they went, you know, when they lost in Seville and then they went to the cup final against Hearts and won that. This whole part about them being shattered, like, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, I think, you know, in the modern day,
it's going to be, again, who wants it more? And I know what you were saying about the atmosphere and all that, but for what I've seen, ticket sales aren't great.
Ticket sales are pretty poor. But I mean, I'm just going to go back to what you said about, you know, the travelling and stuff. Like, it's not the 50s anymore, you know.
Yeah.
These players have got sports scientists and stuff. And it'd be exactly the same if we were playing midweek. I would expect us to be just as fresh at the weekend for a massive, massive cup game. So,
and I don't think since they've signed, I know Mark Condes and Malida played against them at Easter Road, but I think that was our first game. Now that they've been bedded in, when you look at a front three we could go with, say with Boyle, Ewan and Malida, not talking about ability, I'm talking purely on pace, I don't think there's a quicker front three in the league.
No, I don't think so.
As we've seen in the past, players like Tavernier, Goldson, Barisic, Suter, they hate defending. If that sounds really
mate, specific, you look though,
get them turning and get them running towards their own goal, and we have got players in abundance that can do that.
Motherwell did it really well on Saturday, I feel. Yeah. You know, their first goal came from just running at them. And I mean, second goal comes from a set piece, but
we need to stop showing them as much respect as we've shown them over the last couple of years.
And I think
the box, we need to get right in their, to quote an old pal of ours, get right in their face for the first minute.
Yeah.
Fucking battle them from minute one to minute 90. Because if we just stand off and give players like Cantwell and that Diamandi boy they've got signed, he actually looks all right. If you stand off and give them time to play, they're going to fucking rip the piss. So don't give them the time to play and rip the piss. Get in their face for minute one.
I think Mariah Welsh is going to be very, very key there. Yeah. And Sean, something that I noticed against Hearts in the derby was that Monty kind of sacrificed a lot of what he believes in the terms of playing football the way that he wants it to be played. And you know, it's an old cliche saying, "Oh, play the game, not the occasion." But it was as if we played the occasion on Wednesday night. Do you think he's going to take a similar approach and kind of sacrificing his, you know, playing out from the back principles to, you know, instead go for a more intense, in-your-face approach?
Well, he still pretty much played out for the back for the vast majority.
I felt like there wasn't an awful lot of.
I think that's more to do with the pitch, though, and the narrowness of it, as well as maybe the occasion and maybe not wanting to
piss all over my analysis, then, Sean.
Bring unwanted pressure onto the squad. So I don't think he'll change his philosophies or what he's looking to do, because I still think we will try and play it from the back. I think it's just, we need to pick and choose our moments correctly, very similar to Wednesday. It was a dominating-ish performance on Wednesday, and it was good that the team were able to play to the occasion as well and perform well. Very rarely do we see a strong, dominating performance at Tynecastle, and obviously, unfortunately, we only came away with a 1-1 win. So, hopefully we can see a similar level of performance at the weekend, and I think we will. Craig's exactly right in what he's saying about the pace going forward. We've been saying that every time we come up against like the Old Firm, that we have the pace to threaten, but far too often we're not able to get the ball to them, and that's part of the problem. Whereas you find yourself now with a player like Mariah Welsh in the middle of the park, who can find himself in these wee pockets of space just by moving 5 or 6 yards either side of an opposing player. And it gives them the world of time. So hopefully that that allows us to kind of make our mark on Rangers. I think we'll start strong. And I think if we can do that, we'll potentially be on the way to getting a good result against them.
I'm in a much, much more positive place after Wednesday and Saturday than I was pre-Hearts. You know, when we got drawn Rangers out the hat, you're thinking, oh, for fuck's sake, that's our chances of going to Hampden scuppered. But you know, I think the level of performance that we've been putting in the last couple of games and the way that we've been playing and bossing teams, you know, from the Dundee game, I felt like even at large periods of the game, we bossed Celtic as well. So I don't think there's any team really in this league that we should be frightened of going up and playing against.
No, definitely not.
If we play the way that we know we can and give a really good account of ourselves, then I think we'll be all right. And like any time, you've got to hope that they have an off day and you have a really good day to beat the Old Firm. It's the same for the rest of the 10 teams in the Premiership. But listen, we'll see on Sunday and we'll chat about it next week. But until then, we have got some listener questions.
Now it's time to answer the Hibs Ramble listener questions.
So first up, we've got John McIntosh, and he is saying, dinner, yes! And I think that was sent at full time on Saturday. So Craig, take it away.
One thing I've noticed is that listeners' questions is now becoming more of listener statements.
Well, I've actually got, I put out in a tweet, send us your question, thoughts and talking points.
Yeah. Anyway, that's just me. That's just me being pernicky. T was a Sainsbury's deep pan meat feast pizza.
Deep pan is the worst pizza.
Not for this. No, trust me. The Sainsbury's one that I get is the only deep pan pizza that I'll get. And it's worth it. So, yeah.
Sean, thoughts on deep pan pizza?
I'll trust Craig's judgment on Thanks, pizza. He's a man that I can trust on food reviews.
Clearly, a lot of pizza.
But a deep pan pizza would not be for me. But listen, if Craig says it's of a good standard, then I look forward to trying it.
It's the only one. Exactly. Let me make this perfectly clear. It is the only type of deep pan pizza that I'll eat. And I don't know why. I can't give you a reason why.
I just feel like deep pan is far too bready.
Yeah, but it's got a proper, like, proper nice stringy cheese topping.
It's like an actual Chicago one.
No, it's just a thick base. That's it.
Oh, right. Oh, not like an actual deep pan.
No, not like fucking like cheese and then sauce on the top. No, it's just a deep pan pizza. That's what it's called, is it? No, deep pan. It's a thicker...
I thought the deep pan was like the... It's like a pie.
No.
Well, actually, Ken, what's happening is Craig is actually going to New York later in the month. Craig, I went to New York a few years ago, and the pizza there is some of the best pizza I've had in my whole life.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to seeing what your thoughts are of the various pizza places that you're going to go to, because absolutely no doubt you'll be in your element.
If you think that I cannot fit into that top that I've got behind me just now, just you wait until I...
Lad, honestly, the portion sizes are absolutely... ginormous.
Not only that, I know you've been on your journey this year, Craig, with you've been doing very well, but I cannot wait to find out what your weight is when you leave and when you come back. I went to New York in like 2010 or something like that, and Jesus, the portions are
I'm gonna be hitting three numbers with a kg.
Well, I hope so.
That's good. My KD weight is going to be starting with a 100 when I return.
Listen, see, if you're not coming back three figures in kgs, then you've not enjoyed New York properly.
That'll be good. We've wanted to do it for years, and obviously COVID kind of scuppered it. So get to see the man himself as well, Sean. I've not even told you this. The stars have aligned. The new MLS season has started. And New York Red Bulls are playing host to Inter Miami the weekend that we're in NYC. So get to go across to New Jersey to watch Messi and Co.
Is that not where the World Cup final is going to be played as well?
Don't think it's... No, it's not the same stadium.
No, it's in New Jersey.
Is it the Jets and Giants?
Yeah, MetLife, is it not?
Yeah.
I hope you have a great time, Craig, and you've obviously spent a lot of money and done very well to manage to get tickets to that game. So
not as much as what you think.
Mate, tell them what you told me about the tickets.
No.
About the week before as well.
Oh, yeah. So I'll not tell you what the price is, but the week before, because they're at home at like FC Dallas or some shit like that, like the tickets are like $16. And let's just say what I'm going to pay to see Messi's quite significantly more.
A little bit more than $16.
It's worth it.
Well, my argument was, right, because it was between that and going to the MSG to see the basketball. And I was like, we can always go to MSG in 5-10 years and the basketball will be there. But never going to get a chance to see Messi again. So
I tell you what, and I think it's the right decision, to be honest, Craig. And all that come from a deep pan pizza. But Sean, what did you offer your team?
Me and Chloe made a homemade Chinese.
Ooh. Talk us through it then.
The Asian food I thought you'd go for homemade, but I'm excited.
It was like your battered chicken and salt and chili chips and stuff like that as well.
Oh, really? I didn't think that was the sort of Chinese that you would go for.
Is that the new guy?
I thought you'd be going for something really intricate off the menu.
Nah, that's normally what I would, other than shredded chicken, when I actually order a Chinese, that's normally what I would go to. So, yeah, it was good. It was really nice. We've obviously moved house. So, yeah, it's been a bit of a mad couple of weeks.
Sean's actually going to do a vlog, like a home tour vlog for us to put up on the YouTube.
I'll be here forever.
How was the gap?
Hey, Sean. The mile and a half.
It'll take me a while to record it. In no comparison to my last house where I could just turn 360 and you'd see the whole thing.
Are you sitting in the west wing at the moment, Sean? Is that Chloe and Easton?
I'll tell you what, the Lee Seven Gear's done wonders for us, eh? Well done, Sean. You deserve it, mate.
Oh, absolutely. Sean getting a new house. Zippy tracky tops. Unreal, man. What am I having for my dinner? I am having a homemade Nando's style dinner tonight. I prepped the chicken earlier on with some Nando's spices and stuff. We're going to do peri chips, garlic bread, and I've got a big block of halloumi, and I'm going to eat all of it. Even though I did that the last time I had halloumi. Megan doesn't like halloumi, so I get to have as much halloumi as I want, and I had the whole block in one sitting last time. And I tell you what, I shat through the eye of a needle. But it was worth it, mate. It was worth it.
Yeah, because it's halloumi.
So it looks like someone else on the pod will be hitting three figures on the KG then.
No, no me, because the halloumi will be right out my arse the morning.
Before it goes right through you.
I mean, I'll only be in there for about 10, 15 minutes before it comes right back at the other end of the game. So that's what I'm having for my dinner. Moving swiftly on from my bowel movements, we've got Kevin Wilson. And he says, a first half that everyone should agree to forget ever happened. Levitt changed the game in our favour. Man of the match performances from Rocky and Newell. Question, should Martin Boyle be dropped, not looked at it the last few games?
Short answer, yes.
For Sunday?
Yeah.
Sean?
Longish answer, or longer answer than that. No. Because of the threat that he can give us, and he gives us a good balance in the front three. Although I do agree he's not been at it.
Yeah, he really hasn't been at it. But
he looks like he's played too much football since his injury. IMO.
Yeah, no, to be fair, I can see that. I can see it. Next up, Gav Dick, and let's have a look. I think he's actually spelled everything right here, Craig. Spaces before the commas and question marks, so obviously not your...
I can accept.
That's a pet peeve of yours.
Yeah.
But I think he's spelled everything right. And he says, good to see us winning ugly, space comma. Thoughts... Oh, nah, he's fucked it. Thoughts, top six, are we getting it, space question mark. Genuinely believe we will at the moment. And I think we will as well.
Yeah,
I think we'll comfortably...
Yeah, my stance hasn't changed.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Next up, it's Colin McLennan. He says, with only a few hundred Celtic fans at Tynecastle, should we drastically cut the Old Firm allocation at Easter Road to give ourselves a better chance of 3 points, or should we still bleed their fans dry regardless?
Can we block this idiot from sending us questions? Because I'm sick to death hearing his nonsense.
Yeah, me too. But then at the end he said, PS, Mark, how was hospitality? And I think Mark said on the last pod that he was away to Hearts Hospitality on Sunday with his granddad.
Yeah, and I think he very quickly, going by his messages yesterday, outed himself.
He did very quickly out himself, but he spoke to Lauren Shankland after the game, and he went up to him and went, can I have my corkscrew back? And he said that Lauren Shanklin went, "Oh, I thought you were the one who threw the vape." And he went, "Well, I certainly wouldn't have wasted that pie on you." So yeah, that was a good part. But if you ask me if we should cut the Old Firm allocation, I don't think we should half it. I think we should just get them to fuck all together. That's not going to happen, is it?
Nah. It's until we're in a position like Hearts are at the moment where we can comfortably sell the seats. Mm. I get the whole argument about the advantage and all of that, but it seems as at present we'd be cutting our nose off to spite our face from a commercial standpoint. So I can understand why the board, etc., don't look at cutting any allocation. I'm very much on the same wavelength as you in that I would want them out the ground. I don't like it when they're there. I don't think anybody likes it when they're there. I would like to see them, us get the proportion, them get the proportion of tickets at our ground that we get at their ground.
Yeah.
So if you're talking what we get, what, 700 at a 50,000 seater stadium, they could probably get about 4 at ours. So it's commercially, I understand why the board wouldn't do it, but then it's up to us to get a successful team on the park.
It's coming. Entice
people to buy season tickets to ensure that we can have scenes like the last 6 months of the first season back in the league under Lennon, which was probably still a lot of people's best period following Hibs in the last, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years, going back to the Mowbray days.
Sean, I'll come to you with this one because you didn't really speak an awful lot on Dylan Levitt earlier on, but Billy has asked, Dylan Levitt, discuss.
Can we caveat this before Sean answers, right? Billy absolutely fucking loves Dylan Levitt. This is the hill that he's willing to die on. So,
well, after Saturday, then justifiably.
Yeah, but I wanted to caveat it so Sean knows who he's dealing with. He's dealing with a weirdo, basically.
Well, I was going to come in and say there isn't really much for me to discuss because I don't overly rate him that well, if I'm honest. Listen, he has ability. He is obviously technically gifted, but is he as technically gifted as some of the other players that we have in the squad? No. So should he be starting ahead of them? No. I think if Luke Amos was also fit, I would be bringing Luke on well before Dylan. Dylan gives us something, obviously. An empty jersey, some may say. But he does have small spells during his Hibs career where he's been able to do something. And when I say small spells, he didn't get his first assist until the Ross County game for Gier Tavares, I believe. Feel free, Billy, to correct me if I'm wrong on that. I'm sure you know his pass completion rate and his successful dribbles and everything based on what the boys have just said. But I think we've not complimented Dylan Levitt as well as what like Dundee United did, but again, Dundee United were playing a different brand of football with different types of players around them as well, and they obviously had Dylan Levitt further up the park, and we just don't have the capabilities to be able to play him there considering what we want to pose going forward. So, listen, he's a good player to have, but he's far too inconsistent, unfortunately, and there's at least two or three I would have ahead of him.
See, just to play devil's advocate there. Sorry, Craig, I'm going to jump in front of you, but just to play devil's advocate on it, Sean, I really don't feel like he's been given enough of a chance to prove himself this season. I don't think he's had an extended run in the team where he's been able to then do anything. I feel like, similarly, I'm not comparing him as players or anything like that, but similarly to Harry McCurdy, everyone wanted that to work out, and he never ended up getting the game time that he maybe should have. I feel like we were kind of veering down the same route with Dylan Levitt until he scored against Celtic, and then people started to think of him a little bit differently. But
so I hear you, but I've just quickly checked. So
this is going to bring me right down, isn't it?
He obviously played 60 minutes at the opening game of the season, right? But then your point stands up until the 2-2 with Ross County, where he played 84 minutes, 83, 68, 57, 79, 58, 70, 73, 84, 76, 70, 82, 45, 67, and then 75. That takes us up to the Aberdeen game where we finished, drew 2-2 with them, and then he wasn't in the squad for the 2-1 win against Aberdeen. And that's just league games, Liam. That's not including any cup games or European games. So I respectfully, completely and utterly disagree with Dylan Levitt not getting a chance.
Well, that is quite possibly the biggest clamping we have ever seen.
Well, obviously, Sean, you didn't realise that I was only talking about the first half of the season.
Sean didn't come with appearances. He came with minutes in the park. That is...
Wow,
outstanding!
Because you up until the Ross County game, like there was shouts for him, like to get a run in the squad, and he wasn't getting an opportunity, and rightfully so, because at that point we were still playing 4-4-2, and we had Jago and Neil playing together, and we needed a wee bit more creativity. But yeah, he's what's that? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. You're talking almost 20 games in a row where, other than 3 or 4 where he's played between 40 and 50 minutes, he's played 70, 80 minutes, 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. In fairness, he hasn't completed the 90 minutes, but I don't think he's got the engine to be able to complete it in the role that we're asking him to do anyway.
And it's all good and well for a game like Saturday to come on and play against a team like that. Like you do need to say that he came on and did play well. He played very well, in fact. But they're second bottom of the league. They've been toiling all season. They're sitting with 11 men behind the ball. Like
games historically that we struggle in, though, Craig.
I would just like to actually say the only 90 minutes he has completed this season was Aberdeen in the League Cup, and look how poor he was towards the end, chasing back for the goal. So there's a reason why he doesn't play 90 minutes.
Well,
sorry, Liam.
That's well and truly ruined my evening. Next, we've got Scotty, and he says Rocky was a rock at the back again. He's done well since coming back from AFCON. It was a hard slog. It always is against them. They seem to bring us down to their level. Thankfully, we limited them to one decent chance. I think one decent chance in both halves. I think Eamon Brophy should really do a lot better with his chance in the second half. Again, Marshall pulling off another couple of good saves, and the boys at the top end of the park doing their job to get us over the line.
Actually, quite sad.
I'm just going to quickly jump in again. Sorry, Craig.
Because
as we have just finished talking about Dylan Levitt, Hibs have literally just tweeted a big impact off the bench from Dylan Levitt at the weekend. 45 minutes played, 7 final third passes, 5 recoveries and 1 goal. So there is clearly a place for him in the squad. It's just not starting.
And a secondary assist, if you believe in that sort of stuff.
No.
It's a thing, though.
It's not.
Well, it's...
But it's not. XG, get that... I know Ryan likes his stuff like that, but... Especially...
Philippe Clement quoted it.
Oh, mate, see the half-time of Man United game yesterday when they were like, Rashford's goal was 0.03 XG, which means that every 3 out of 100 would go in this. It's like... No. Haaland's with 0.7. No. 2 goals are exactly the same.
Just say Rashford scored a worldie and Haaland missed a sitter. Like, it's simple as that. Just keep it simple. Yep. Football's a simple game. Like, let's not overcomplicate it.
I still really don't understand the XG and how an XG is calculated.
That's what I mean, because it's an arbitrary figure, because XG for Haaland at Man City is going to be different to XG for fucking
Will Fish at Hibs.
Aye, or when you know what I mean? You play, the Etihad's a fully enclosed ground that's not really going to be affected by the elements. You go down to League Two in Scotland and you're playing at Ainslie Park in January when it's pissing rain, howling wind. The exact same circumstances of how a chance gets to you are probably going to be different because of the elements and all that. You just can't, it's an arbitrary figure that folk have just decided to make up to, you know, these like whole progressive passes per half and fucking progressions and moves through the, fuck off, like, just watch the game. Somebody had a good game, somebody had a shite game, somebody had more of the ball, somebody had less of the ball, like, that's it. Like Sean said, it's a simple game for simple people.
I'm breathing, yeah, Jake, I'm breathing.
Sorry, that's get out a rant in me that I didn't know existed.
The penultimate question comes from MN13, and they say, not good on the eye, and to be honest, I'm not expecting it to be for the rest of the season. But if we can go on a wee run, then fourth is definitely achievable. Anything less isn't good enough.
It's a bold statement. I don't actually think, I really, really hope I'm wrong. I don't think that we'll get fifth or fourth. But we've obviously got the players out of the three that are going to be fighting for fourth to be able to do it the most. It's just who's going to drop points the most out of the next 10 games.
Historically, if we finish fourth, we're actually punching above our weight. So fifth is where we should be. Realistically, where we should be. Obviously, we don't want to just be where we should be. We want to be better than that. But I think we're paying the price for a shite start under Johnson and an even shiter start under Montgomery until they tweak the system.
Yeah. And finally, from Twitter, it's a question from Terry Burns, and he is asking, surely we are all supporting the Cherries in the Premier League? And I think I can speak for all of us when I give that a resounding
no.
We'll look out for the results, but we'll not be supporting them.
Yeah, couldn't give a flying fuck about Bournemouth, in all honesty.
We have a bigger ground than them. Like, I literally couldn't care less.
Well,
but if you're listening, the Black Knight group, then
absolutely, we love Bournemouth.
Alley tickets, we'd love to come down to a pie review. The lot, like, we'll endorse anything.
No, we love the Black Knights. We're not arsed about Bournemouth in the same way we're not arsed about Lorient, and we're not arsed about whatever this franchise is in New Zealand.
Wellington.
Yeah, we don't care about them.
What about the hockey team?
No, even less.
But it's Vegas.
But it's exactly. How can you play ice hockey in Vegas? It's a desert. Grow up.
It's inside your fucking idea.
Well, really, I never knew that.
Maybe you should.
Get with the program, Liam. Come on, son.
All right, fair enough, mate. And that's us done with questions. So just before we wrap up, we mentioned it at the start of the pod, but ourselves, Long Bangers, and Down the Slope have started a ticket drive, which we're trying to raise as much money as possible to, give tickets to people who aren't really able to afford to come to the football. You know, cost of living crisis at the moment, times are tough. Getting to the football is a massive, massive expense. So if we can help to make that a little bit easier on some people, then, you know, I feel like we're doing a good job. So if you can and you'd like to donate, then we've got a GoFundMe link that I'll put in the YouTube description and Spotify and Apple Music and stuff like that. If you have donatable items that could be good for a raffle or auction, anything like that, then please get in touch as well with either ourselves, Down the Slope, or Long Bangers. You can get in touch on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook. You can email us. Our email is thehibsramble@gmail.com. So if you've got anything like that you feel like you'd like to donate, then just get in touch and we'll get back to you. But apart from that, lads, thank you so much for joining me for the last hour and talking absolute nonsense, and away and enjoy your evening.
What else would I rather do on a Monday than chat shite about Hibs, eh?
Hibs Ramble. Love it.
Yep.
See you later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's get ready to rumble.